We're holding it part two of the stepping stones to better tefillah. Years ago, somebody told me once, a maisa, that there was no easy way to cure a person of the flu. Rachman al-Tzal, if a person was contracted the flu, he got ill. So it wasn't so simple. You didn't just pop a couple of pills and off you went to bed, and that was it 2 days later. Until they eventually discovered penicillin. It was a huge discovery. Penicillin was like an amazing discovery. It was a real amazing thing. So there's a fellow who told me the maisa. So he says to me that he's an older man, that when they found penicillin, he one time got sick, and the doctor said to him, okay, no problem, I'll give you penicillin. So in those days, it wasn't like, you know, here you go, off you go, go get a prescription, go to the pharmacy, take this medicine for a couple of days and you'll be alright, back on the mend. How it worked was that you had to go to the doctor every single day, and the doctor would take this big bottle of penicillin, and he'd take an injection, take out this, whatever it was, measurement of penicillin, and he'd give it to you, and every single day you'd come back to the doctor, and you'd give him your arm, and he'd give you the penicillin, you'd go home, and eventually, hopefully, you'd be a little bit better. That was the way it worked. So there was a big Maggid of Yerushalayim, a big speaker here in Yerushalayim, that used to give big droshes and chizuk to everyone. It was an amazing thing. And he one time walks into a big doctor in Tel Aviv, and he says to the doctor, tell me something, that bottle of penicillin that you have, do you have an empty one? So the doctor thinks, that's interesting. Yeah, sure, I have a bunch of empty ones that are ready to go to the garbage. So he says, can I please borrow one? I'm giving a share. So he says, okay, interesting. I said, sure, here you go. You know, big glass bottle, says penicillin. He gives it to him. And when the guy goes out, he says, who is that guy? Oh, he's one of the big speakers. He goes around from town to town giving speeches in Chizik the Klal Yisrael. Amazing. So the doctor says, that's so weird. He just took from me an empty bottle of penicillin. I just wonder what he wants to do with it. So he says, you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to find out where he's speaking, and I'm going to see, what is he doing? So he goes into the hall, somewhere in Yerushalayim, where he was giving shiur, and he saw the crowds. He said, this is unbelievable. Everybody's come to listen to this big maggid. And he walks in, and he's listening to the shiur, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 minutes. He doesn't see any bottles of penicillin coming out. He's wondering, when is this bottle of penicillin going to come out? Until, in the middle of the shiur, comes out this big maggid, and he says, Rabbi Sai, I'd like to show you something. And he takes from under the table there, he takes this huge bottle, he sits it on the shtender, big bottle, and it says on this bottle, penicillin. And he says, look at an amazing thing the doctors have discovered, penicillin, wow, now you can get healed from a person that's sick, it's an amazing discovery. And everyone's oohing and aahing, amazing. And he says, Rabbi Sai, we have discovered something even better than that, even more powerful than that. And the doctor's thinking, wow, what has he got? What's the next bottle that's going to come out? What is the new discovery that's come out that we haven't seen yet in the doctor's surgeries? And he takes out an empty bottle, and he puts it on the table, and he says, here it is, tears. The tears of a person's tefillah accomplishes more than any medicine he can ever take in the entire world. The only difference is we don't appreciate it. We don't appreciate it because we don't see the big lights, the discovery. Wow, amazing, this, that, and the other. No, no. We have to realize the koyach of our tefillah. And this is what we're doing here tonight, along with the other nights, is we're trying to machazik ourselves in yoni of tefillah, to a little bit of appreciation to what goes through our minds on a daily basis, at least 3 times a day, or hopefully more than that. There's a very interesting gemara. The gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Chesam and Aleph, says a very interesting thing. Says the Gemara as follows. Rav Meir says, there are two people that can have exactly the same illness, and you can have two people that are on the gallows to be killed. One person recovers, and one person doesn't. One person is saved, and the other one doesn't. What's the difference between them? Says the Gemara, the difference between them is, one of them davened, and his tefillah was answered. The other one davened, and his tefillah was not answered. That's the reason why one was saved and one was and wasn't. That's the reason why one was healed and the other one wasn't. The question is, what's the difference? They both davened. Why is it that one davened and was answered, and the other one davened and was not answered? Answers the Gemara a very big yisoid. Says the Gemara that the one davened a tefillah shleima. A tefillah shleima. Zug Rashi, what's a tefillah shleima? Nischaven. What does nischavin mean? What's the pshat? What's the secret? What is going to be the secret ingredient that causes a person's tefillah to be answered and unfortunately not to be answered? So you can imagine, take the scene like this. You have a fellow, Lachmona Litzlan, who's never been a gay to us or anybody that we know, who's lying in the hospital. The doctor comes in with a very grim face and he says, unfortunately, I must tell you the news. All the tests that we did, the results are positive. There's a deadly illness that's raging through your body, and there is nothing medicine can do for you. I'm sorry to tell you, there's nothing we can do. The doctor walks out and he leaves the man to face the angel of death. And you can imagine this man calls out to the Rebbeinu Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save me. The doctor's given me no hope. Medicine gives me no hope. I've got no one to turn to. Please save me. Can you imagine a more heartfelt, real tefillah than that? Can you imagine, right? I can't imagine this looks like that tefillah that Matman is saying in the bed over there looks anything like a tefillah of a man that's waiting to get back into the office in the middle of a busy day while he's doubling mincha, right? You imagine that person in the bed, he's giving a tefillah. His mama's tears are coming, he's crying. Take the man on the gallows. He's got the executioner, the executioner comes, he puts the big string around his neck, and they're ready to open the trapdoor underneath him. In a few moments, he will be swinging from the rope with his neck snapped. And in desperation, he cries out to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, save me! Please, save me! Can you imagine a more sincere tefillah than that? I mean, he's concentrating on every letter and every syllable and every word. He means it. What is the pshat that the Gemara tells us that you can have two people in that situation, whether they're two people in bed sick and they're going to die, or two people that are going to be killed by hanging? One of them got saved and one of them doesn't. Why, says the Gemara? Because one of them davened a good tefillah, tefillah shleima, so Rashi nischavin, and the other one didn't. How can it be? What's the pshat? Zog Rav Elia Lopyan Amayudiki Yisayit. Says Rav Elia Lopyan, you know what kavana means? We've got the wrong taich. We've got the wrong explanation and translation of kavana. Kavana doesn't mean concentration. Kavana doesn't mean focus. Zog Rav Elia Lopyan, kavana means you didn't believe in the effectiveness of your tefillah. If you don't believe that the tefillah can work, that's not a tefillah shleima. The Gemara is telling me you have two people in the same matzah, but one of them can daven it. Such a good tefillah, such kavana. But if he doesn't believe in his tefillah and the effectiveness of his tefillah, then in a chanami it's not going to have the same effect. That person lying in bed, and the illness is raging, rachmana litzlan, in his body, and the doctor and medicine has given up on him, he's also given up. He's miyayish. He's given up. That's it. It's over. So why did daven? Because that's what a Jew does. A Jew davens. A Jew calls to Hashem. But he's given up. He prayed because he had to pray. He davened because he davened, not because he believed that it can get out of there. That's not a tefillah shleima. That's not a tefillah shleima. You know, sometimes you see a person saying tehillim for Rachman Letzom, for a sick person, and he's crying. He's just saying tehillim and tears are streaming down his face. And you think to yourself, wow, what a beautiful tefillah. He's really davening with such kavana. Look at him, he's emes, he's really believing in his... You know what the answer is? He's already given up on the patient and he's thinking and imagining what the levaya will look like. That's why he's crying. And for a person has to realize and he has to believe that the tefillah works. When you have the belief that a tefillah goes up and penetrates the shamayim and goes up to kisei hakovod, so that's called a tefillah shleima. And a tefillah shleima can get a person all the way up to shamayim. There's a very interesting chazal. We all know that Elkanah had two wives, Chana and Penina. Penina, we know, had lots of children. Chana, we know, was childless. And every single year, Elkanah would travel to the Mishkan in Shiloh and make korbanos, as Nach tells us. And you can imagine, the whole family was at the table when Elkanah returned back and she distributed the meat of the korbanos and Penina Nebuch. Right, and Penina was sitting with her 10 children. Chana was all by herself. Year after year, Chana would have such pain until one year she cried and she wouldn't eat. That's what Chazal tell us in the Yalkut Shemoni, the pshat was she'd been barren for 19 and a half years. every single year, the same case, every year, and every year she cried. But this year, Hannah wept, and Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Why are you crying? Why don't you eat? Why is your heart so bitter? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? When Hannah heard this, she rushed to the Mokoyim, and she cries to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that she grant her a son, and she was listened. The question is, why only now? 19 and a half years, and now she gets answered? What's the pshat? So Chazal tell us the pshat was like this. Chazal say that the Maisa, that Hannah was under the impression that her husband Elkanah, which was the leader of Klal Yisrael, was davening for her. When she realized that he said, "Am I not better for you than 10 sons? He wasn't davening for her. And all of a sudden she despaired and she davened for herself. It was such an emes de ketzvila, realizing that she's the only one that has the koyach. Somebody once came to a hush of a gadol late in the night, and he said, Rebbe, my son is in a terrible matzav. Mom is sick and the doctor's given him a few hours. Please, daven for him. Come to the house. Help us. Be mechazik us." So the Rebbe says, "Fine, no problem." And slowly he gets up, closes his svarim. Unbelievable. And she's saying, "Please, Rebbe, please, can't you hurry up?" "No, yeah, I'm coming. And he gets his coat, and he relaxes, and he puts it on, slowly. "Rebbe, please. And eventually she gets sobs, and says, I can't have trust in you anymore. That's it, I'm going to die. And he says, "Oh, now I can help you. Because if you think that you can put your trust into a human being, into flesh and blood, that's very nice, but it's not going to help you. Only when you put your full trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you realize that there's only one person that can help you, and that's the Ribbono Shel Olam, oh, then your tefillah is a good tefillah." And Rabbi said, we're seeing from here, Be'ez Hashem, we'll have to continue next time, that a tefillah has a koyach, but we have to believe in the koyach. Chazal are telling us a tefillah shleima means a tefillah that we believe in. A tefillah that we have the belief in the emunah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is listening and can answer us. That is a tefillah shleima. And that is something Be'ez Hashem we have to work on. Be'ez Hashem on Tuesday.